Joining me now, Dr. Preston Sprinkle. He is a biblical scholar. He's a speaker. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He has a number of books and certainly conversations on the topic we are about to discuss. The newest book is Embodied, Transgender Identities, the Church, and What the Bible Has to Say. Preston, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's really good to talk with you. There's a number of places that we could start. Let's start with this. This is a really robust topic in the culture. It is often a topic Christians either avoid or talk about in a way that is derogatory and degrading. So why is it necessary as Christians to have this conversation? And why is it necessary for us to do so with the dignity of the individuals directly involved completely in view the whole time?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. And I would agree that typically Christians do, either avoid the topic or, talk about it in a way that isn't very loving, isn't very kind. And, it's hard to say, why that is. I think it's different for different people. I think there's a lot of fear, a lot of ignorance toward people who say identify as trans or even the LGBTQ community as a whole. I think churches, at least in my experience, are starting to get better. But I think when a topic or a person or an identity is just foreign to you, I think it's easy to vilify it or just kind of brush it off or just ignore it. But I think deep down, Christians are wanting to have this conversation. I think more and more kids are coming out as trans or non-binary. I think in the cult, the culture is talking about it a lot more. So I think Christians, maybe not publicly, but at least privately, I think they are asking some really good and hard questions about this topic. So I think it is time to have the conversation.
All right. So let's jump in to a conversation on, going on in families across the country. My son, my daughter, my neighbor, my friend, my aunt, my uncle is now identifying as trans. I have just learned this. What do I say? How do I respond? How do I behave? What questions do I ask, not ask?
Yeah. So the very first question, if somebody, says, hey, I'm trans, or, they come out to you for the first time, the very first question is, thank you for telling me that. Can I get a better understanding of what that term even means? Because in this conversation, the term trans or transgender or other identity markers, they can mean some very different things to different people. So for instance, I have several friends who identify as trans, and for each one, that term means something different. For one person, I can think of one person in particular, a biological male says he's trans, and when he says he's trans, what he means is that he believes that he, while being biologically male, is actually a woman. Like, that is who he says he is. Agree or disagree, that's his claim. Now, another friend of mine who is a very faithful follower of Jesus, she also identifies as trans. All she means is that she experiences a psychological condition called gender dysphoria. This second friend of mine is a biological female, believes she is a biological female, does not say she was, born in the wrong body. She's pursuing Jesus, as much as any of us are. And yet she experiences a psychological condition. So for her, the term trans is simply a synonym for this, unwanted condition that she has to wrestle with. So the term trans can mean many different things to many different people. If you've met one trans person, you've met one trans person. So the first question is, hey, thank you for telling me that. What do you mean by that term? Help me to understand, what that term means to you.
So I want to investigate something with you in terms of what you just said. I noted that as you were describing these two friends, you continued to consistently use pronouns that describe their biological identity. Even when in the case of the biological male friend who now identifies as female, he might now have his preferred pronoun be she. Can you just talk with us a little bit about the linguistic exercise that we're in the midst of?
That's probably one of the most volatile aspects of this conversation. I think there's good people on both sides. With regard to the first person I described, who is a biological male, he is still – he's not really that one's a little tricky. I think in certain contexts, I might refer to him as whatever he prefers me to refer to him as. He has been in an old, you know, he's an older person who is not really public to a lot of people. He's very used to being called he. He doesn't really think twice about it. My second friend, again, I believe she's female, so she's fine with she. I do have other friends who do prefer different pronouns, whether it's, you know, pronouns of the opposite sex, or maybe even they or them, which is kind of more of a that one's a little awkward because it's a plural pronoun, but it's also a bit neutral too. It's not either, you know, he or she. So here's my general take is when I'm meeting somebody, maybe I don't know who they are. I refer to the pronouns or name that they want me to refer to them as. I want to meet somebody where they're at, you know. So hopefully so that I can be invited into a relationship and walk with the person and hopefully, you know, help them in the journey, you know, towards Christ. So, but I would say, I think that, as part of Christian discipleship, our ultimate goal should be to fully identify with the biological sex that God has created us to be. But that can be a journey for some people. And again, if somebody's suffering from what can be a really severe psychological condition, you know, learning to embrace their biological sex can be an incredibly difficult journey. And those of us who don't have gender dysphoria don't really have a category for what that feels like. And yet we do have a category for what it's like to struggle with anger. You know, I know some Christians who have been believers for 50 years and I'll see them lash out at their wives or lust or, you know, fall into porn use or whatever, overdrink or overspend, or, you know, there's all kinds of things in the Christian life that are, you know, we'll go to the grave with a limp, a spiritual limp, you know. So if somebody is suffering from a gender dysphoria, you know, it may be an ongoing journey to learn to embrace their biological sex. So while I do think the ultimate goal would be to identify as and embrace your biological sex, I want to meet somebody where they're at. And if using a pronoun they prefer is, you know, meeting them where they're at, then I'm going to do that as a Christ follower. But I want to acknowledge that there are really good Christians who would have good arguments to the contrary, and we can, you know, we can wrestle with those.
All right, I'm talking with Dr. Preston Sprinkle. We are talking around and about his new book, Embodied. And let me just encourage you, if this is a conversation that is going on in your family, it's going on in your community. I mean, it is going on in the world. The question is whether or not we are prepared to be people who participate in the conversation in a way that is honest to God and also honest to the experience of people around us. So let me just encourage you to consider Embodied, Preston Sprinkle's new book. We're going to continue this conversation in the moral questions surrounding all of this and what the Bible has to say about human beings created male and female distinctly in the image of God, what that means in terms of the transgender experiences of people around us today. We'll be right back.
Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again?
Continue my conversation with Dr. Preston Sprinkle. We are talking about his brand new book, Embodied: Transgender Identities, the Church, and What the Bible Has to Say. Preston, so many directions that we could go, so many questions swimming around. So I think that for many of us, there is in the church, there is a conversation about genuine receptivity when a person who is trans-identified wants to be a part of the church? What does that look like? How does that work? What if it's a kid who grew up in our church and is now identifying in this way? Can you just help us roam around in that complexity?
Yeah, that's a great word, complexity. And again, I think acknowledging that there's so many different journeys and meanings that underlie the very trans identity that we're talking about, and really getting to know the individual and the journey that God has them on. And I think our ultimate posture should be, you know, we want all people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to welcome all people, you know. Now there's Christians obviously have a certain ethic of what it means to be human that we're welcoming people into. So being welcoming of all people does not mean that there's no sort of, you know, discipleship or behavioral expectations. But when we're meeting somebody where they're at, there's no prerequisite to being welcoming. I mean, we were ungodly, Paul says, when God poured out his grace on us. You know, we were enemies of God when he loved us, when he shed his grace upon us. So we need to embody that same posture towards people who, you know, have what has been a very different kind of experience. And also, I think we need to understand that there is oftentimes a history here between the church and LGBT people as a whole. So when you meet somebody who identifies as LGBT, or especially, you know, T, the transgender identity, oftentimes they may have all kinds of stigma and assumptions, and maybe a lot of pain and shame associated with the Christian church. So it's not like they're, you know, coming to you on neutral grounds. Like, they're coming to you with probably a lot of really negative assumptions about Jesus, about the church, about Christians. So I think seeking to undo some of those really negative assumptions that Christians are hateful or unloving or unkind or, you know, love to shame and say mean things about trans people. Like, I think undoing some of those assumptions up front is also really good. And also, you know, we want to welcome people into a discipleship journey with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to do that, I think we need to be extremely kind and loving up front. Paul says in Romans 2:4 that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So we need to embody that kindness of God if we desire people to come to that, relationship with God that involves repentance.
So, Preston, I guarantee you there are people listening right now who are wondering things about the culture and why there seems to be a rising tide of individuals who find incongruence, experience incongruence between their biological sex and their personal identity. Can you just talk a little bit about maybe why, by your observation, there is a seeming growing percentage of individuals who experience this incongruence?
Yeah, and it's not just you're spot on. It's not just seeming; it's been well documented. And in fact, the main gender clinic in the UK, the Tavistock Center, has documented a 5,000% increase among biological females who in the last 10 years have been coming to their gender clinic, you know, with some kind of incongruence. I think with males, it's about 2,000% increase in the last 10 years. And this has been about this, you know, the same kind of percentages exist across most European or Western countries, including the United States, Canada, Australia, and so on, which that's interesting that it is kind of a Western, largely white, educated, you know, wealthy culture that's experiencing this. So why the increase? There's two main responses that people will give to that. Some people say, well, because our culture is more accepting now, you know, people who would have been publicly out with their identity 10, 20 years ago are now coming out with their identity. But the percentage has been the same all along. They just had to keep it in secret. That's one response to the rise in percentages. Another response would say, well, that might be part of the reason for the seemingly, you know, high increase in numbers. But it does seem that culture is playing some role, that society is playing some role in, you know, shaping or nudging people into this trans identity. So I think there's a bit of truth in both of these responses. I do think the second response, there's definitely something there. And again, this has been well documented, that the sudden rise in teenagers identifying as trans, non-binary, genderqueer does seem to be influenced, at least in part, with cultural influence, you know, getting ideas from heavy social media use, you know, other people, you know, giving them these very categories, and people kind of being, I don't want to say wooed into it. That might be a little too strong, but in some cases that is what's going on. That there are people who are kind of planting ideas in people's minds to embrace this identity. So, and that gets really, this whole conversation is so volatile and everything I said is super debated, but in my research and experience, there's definitely something in society that's playing the role here.
All right, I'm going to direct you, if you're listening right now, to check out what Preston is posting at PrestonSprinkle.com, namely a series of podcasts on this topic, diversity of trans. It's just awesome. I listened to part four. There's no way we could talk about that topic in any way that is any better than the way that it's done there in that podcast on detransitioning and gender ideology. It's just excellent. So really want to direct you there, PrestonSprinkle.com. The book is Embodied, Transgender Identities, the Church, and What the Bible Has to Say. If this is your heart issue, if this is an issue in your home, we do have a limited number of books to share with you today. And so you just text the word book to 877-933-2484. I really want to put these books in the hands of people who are dealing with this in their own families, in their own communities, for whom this conversation is really raw right now. The book is Embodied. We do have complimentary copies to share with a limited number of listeners. So go ahead and text the word book to 877-933-2484 if this is really your heartbeat issue today. Preston Sprinkle, thank you so much for being with us. You guys can visit with Preston at PrestonSprinkle.com. We'll be right back. I'm Carmen LaBurge. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Remember, it's your prayerful and faithful financial support that makes both the live show and the podcast available. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.